Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word. When your parents went through that divorce, did they share way too much with you? Did they expect you to be an adult? Did they think it was all about them? Did they forget about you guys? There's a lot of wounds associated with all of that. And it all began long ago when we thought we could speak to one another that way and it would not destroy us. Words can either build our lives or destroy our lives. They have incredible power. And we all have to make decisions throughout our lives that we're not going to tear down, but we're going to build. We're not going to hurt, but we're going to heal with what we say. Whatever you say, you know, you can't take it back. Once you've looked them in the eye and told them that you hate them, just because you were feeling really bad and confused, you know, you can't take it back. You can apologize, you can try to fix it, and that's good, but it still does great damage. But I'm also here to tell you today that you can do and say things. The power of your words can build the lives of the people around you. I didn't come up with that because my mother used to tell us to watch our mouths. It's because Debbie actually bought a game just recently that's called Watch Your Mouths. And you put these apparatuses in your mouth or you really can't talk. And you try to get people to say what's on the card. You know, you try to do where it really makes everybody laugh. And it's called Watch Your Mouth. So I was working on the series and I thought of that box that we had just put with the games and said, oh, that's a good title. Watch Your Mouth number 3. And it's entitled this. Your incredible power of encouragement. Let's read the text. The verse that we're going to start with is Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 24. Listen to this. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. You see that? And I'm going to read it giving a different translation to the first word. Pleasant or gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. The scripture tells us that when we are cursed by people, that we are to bless them. That means the people in your own household, and strangers on the street, and guys who cut you off. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. I'm sure you've seen him around town. He's been gone for about 10 years now. His name was Norman Sluter. Norman cleaned windows. He had a bicycle and a big 5-gallon bucket. Was an incredible guy. He didn't have much going for him. He was a special needs kid. And when he was a little boy, he was spotless and his hair was combed and his clothes were pressed and his mom died. And he was cast to whatever family member would take him. The thing about Norm is usually you could smell him before you could see him. It was pretty tough. He had trouble speaking, he stuttered a lot and had trouble. His glasses were always smudgied, you know. And I remember one late night, I was the church custodian at a church on Pontiac Lake Road that is now called Grace Baptist. Back in the day, it was a wonderful church called Sunnyvale Chapel. Man, we had a lot of good times in that place, a lot of wonderful memories there. So I was the custodian in that place in my third year of seminary, and I was working late one night, and along the side of the building, the side street that goes along the side of that old church building, I heard screaming, and the neighborhood kids had gotten a hold of Norman and beaten him up and torn his clothes and wrecked his bicycle. And I went out and found him on the lawn, and I brought him in. He was shaking like a little child, and I got him Kool-Aid and potato chips. If you fed him, it fixed everything, I'm telling you. From that moment on, we became very fast friends. I'd get calls, Tom, how you doing? Can I pray for you today? What do you need? All he ever did was bless people. He would look for ways to be encouragement. He was always kind, always concerned about everybody else. While he went around washing windows at the Kroger store or at JCPenney's or somewhere, he was always washing windows. He wasn't real good at it, but people loved him. He did his best. Anyhow, he was a precious guy. He didn't amount to anything in the world. He was ridiculed his whole life by church members. They made jokes about Norman his whole life. But I'm here to tell you something today. You're going to feed that boy watermelon in heaven. We're all going to serve him. He has so many rewards in heaven. It's going to be unbelievable because he had an incredible power that we all have. But Norman tapped it. It was the power to encourage people. And he did that. My buddy. Oh, he was something. We have great power to encourage. Let me show you what your power of encouragement does for people here in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 24. I want you to see something. Being gracious has incredible results in people's lives. It affects, first of all, how people feel in their heart. It says, pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweet to the soul. Have you ever been absolutely exhausted from work and then ate something sweet and all of a sudden you came back? Remember how you know, woozy headed you would feel and all that from low blood sugar? And that Debbie and I one time, it was in one of the huge snowstorms. We haven't had one of these in a long time. When we lived in Gingellville, I know they just say Lake Orion now, but it is not Lake Orion. It's Gingellville. The Gingell family is there. Mrs. Eiler, who played the piano here for 25 years, she was something, maybe 20 years. But they lived in Gingellville, and her husband Don knew all the Gingells, and he was proud to call that place Jingleville, just to drive them crazy, to mispronounce their name. We lived in Gingellville. There was a huge snowstorm in the condos. We lived in the Keatington Newtown condos. And, well, we got a sled, and we were snowed in. I think we had almost 2 feet of snow. And we walked all the way down Baldwin Road. There was this little corner store, and we asked the neighbors if they needed stuff. And we put on our snowmobile suits, and we walked down there. We got to that place. We were totally exhausted. It is amazing what a Snickers bar can do for you. At a moment, we just like, it was seriously, it was like, whew, and then we ate something and boy, it was amazing. That's what the writer here is talking about. Gracious words, kind words have an ability to bring a person's soul back. Just like when you have low blood sugar and you eat a candy bar or you have some honey, it all comes back. Do you see? You have incredible power in people's lives. All we have to do is use it. It affects how people feel in their heart. And also, there's something else. It says, pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Look at the studies. The families, the churches, the businesses, and the organizations that choose to speak words of kindness to one another within a family, within any kind of a group, those people are more physically healthy than other groups that don't do that. There's something about health and graciousness that goes hand in hand. There is an incredible power of encouragement. I have seen people who struggled with illness their whole lives. And, you know, as we get older, there's always going to be stuff. But I'm people that were chronically ill for a long time, that when they came to Christ, that changed. And you can say Jesus healed them, and I would say amen. But I think there was something about knowing they were loved that changed their physical makeup. It's really powerful. You live around brokenhearted people within your own house. You live around men and women that are barely surviving day by day, but they keep up a great front. You and I have great power as the children of God to change their lives and change them. It's so important that we understand our incredible power of encouragement. Well, here's another one. There's a picture of encouragement in 1 Samuel. Will you go back in your Bible to 1 Samuel, one of the historical books of the Bible? We're reading from Proverbs, which is the poetical, one of the poetical books of the Bible. We're going to go back to 1 Samuel chapter 23 in a relationship between two wonderful men. And I'll tell you what, I love this. The relationship between David, who was not king of Israel yet, and the son of the king of Israel, Saul, who was extremely mentally ill and demonized and wanted to kill David. But young Jonathan loved David and loved the Lord. And Jonathan went and found David. And we find this picture of what encouraging looks like. 1 Samuel chapter 23, if I didn't say 23. 1 Samuel 23, and look at verse 16. And Saul's son Jonathan went to David in Horesh and helped him find strength in God. Don't be afraid, he said. My father Saul will not lay a hand on you. You will be king over Israel, and I will be second to you. Even my father Saul knows what a friend he was. Their relationship is beautiful. And what friendships are supposed to look like between men. Beautiful, committed friendships. How desperately we all need that. Well, I want you to see some things about Jonathan helping David. Jonathan goes to David and gives him incredible encouragement. It said he went and to help him find strength in God. You got to understand that what we need most is a clear understanding of who God is and his love for us. And that's what this is based on. When Jonathan goes to David, he encourages him in God about the whole thing about God's, well, God's everything about David. But I want you to see, it says he went to David. You cannot be a friend long distance. I mean, sometimes we live far apart. You can't hide from people and be able to help them at the same time. Community Bible Church has been a wonderful place of healing for those who have gone through religious abuse. I mean, it's been something through the years to watch people that have gone through every kind of abuse imaginable that we couldn't talk about publicly. But to watch people come here and reconnect with the Lord and then come out of themselves. The tendency is when you've been hurt is to just hide. And you come, maybe you're here now and you're just starting to heal and you come and you're out the door as fast as you can and you don't connect with people well. I want you to know the Lord isn't going to leave you there. Though all of us are going to grow so that we can be there for people. Jonathan. He was there. You can't live effectively by avoiding contact with other people. So you may have been terribly, terribly wounded. I want you to know the Lord doesn't want to leave you there. He's going to point you outward. You see that? He was there. That's a picture of encouraging. You got to be there. Second of all, oh, hey, something else. I want to say, he's not in here so I can do it. You guys know Clint Pruitt. Always sits in the back, right? The chromed dome in the back. Very proud of it. He says, God created only a few perfect heads, the rest he covered with hair. That's what Clint said. If anybody should hide from people, it's Clint. He had a terrible experience as a child, experienced a life as a child, terrible. He and his friends would create ways to aggravate the police, kind of had a death wish, drove 9,000 miles an hour all the time through Rochester. All the policemen knew his name. He was angry. He's so funny. His biggest problem when he had to deal with people before was where to hide the body. Now he's exaggerating. Okay, he's not. But I mean, that's the way it was. And then Jesus got in the way. And then he married a sweet girl and did his best to love her, and she left anyhow. But he kept walking with Jesus. And he's one of the most compassionate guys. Now, you know, he'll never admit to this. He just is an incredibly compassionate man who loves people. There was a woman who was having trouble one day. We were at a coffee shop. He said under his breath to me, oh man, somebody just needs to take her home and love her. You know? I said, hey, what happened to the crazy man that was mad at everybody? He said, Jesus messed that all up. It's just the way it's going to be. And he's an incredible man. I'm telling you, the Lord does this, and you got to be there. And this guy who should be avoiding everybody with his background, who could have become a serial killer, and I'm not kidding about that part of it, loves and is always watching as a congregation, always wanting to know who's hurting the most and how he can help. Incredible guy. But this picture of encouraging, of true friendship, is that Jonathan was there, okay? Jonathan was there, and I want you to notice, so he encourages him in God, which means, what's God like? I mean, and here's what he says to him. Don't be afraid. I mean, David was afraid. King Saul was trying to kill him. He was in all kinds of situations where Saul tried doing him in and chasing him down. It was just really, really difficult for David. And he said, don't be afraid. Saul will not lay a hand on you, right? He's not going to hurt you. God's not going to let that happen, is what he's saying. He's encouraging him in God. And you will be king over Israel. Not only is God going to protect you, David, but God has got this incredible plan that you are going to live out. It's going to happen. And I'm going to be right beside you. I'll be second to you. You see that? Do you see how simple encouragement and friendship is? The Bible tells us that Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate toward one another. Kindness, of course, we understand what we're talking about. Compassionate means to see beyond just the surface and see why a person hurts, to see why. And you address that. And that's what happened here. I see where you come from. I see why you're afraid, but I want you to know God's not done with you. You're not going to be hurt, and God has a plan for you. To me, that is just such a beautiful thing. I was at Marlene Brzee's funeral yesterday. Myron and I were, and a bunch of you were there, at the old Hadley Church in Hadley, Michigan, little old clapboard white church. I cannot tell you how refreshing it was. We opened up the hymnal and sang all these old hymns, and it was just simple, but it was profound to be there. So refreshing to me. There was one lady that got up and talked about Marlene Brzee. By the way, Marlene was a wonderful woman, and I was telling these guys telling those guys yesterday about when they were here in the days when they were raising their children here, all those 30-some years ago, we had a road rally. And Marlene was the one who got all the maps from Oakland County, before GPS, you guys, okay? And so she hands me all these, and she said, Pastor, could you hand these out, please? And so I went around handing all these things out. You get in the car and open them out, and the centers were cut out of those things. See, you couldn't use them. That was just her precious lady. But she was one who really had this gift. She knew how to do this. And one of her dear friends, who was her neighbor, she got up to talk about Marlene. And when she got most emotional, it was when her husband was dying. And she said, and there was Marlene just sitting in the corner. There she was, seeing what was needed, taking care of things. Oh, so that's a real friend. So there's the power of encouragement. There's this beautiful picture of encouragement. The principle of encouraging. This is something you might not have ever equated before, but I want to read you a couple of portions, a couple little verses. I'm going to read you from Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Now, listen to this, would you? Let me give this to you. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap, for with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. There's this principle of giving and receiving. Here's another one. The idea is that those who sow in peace will reap a life of righteousness. Okay? The whole idea of what you sow, you reap. Now, I'm going to read you one other verse, and then we're going to tie it all together. We're going to go to Luke chapter 6 again. We were just there. I'm going to go to verse 31. Do to others as you would have them do to you. I'm going to say it again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Now let me tie this all together. You have tremendous needs, don't you? Your loneliness is unspeakable. Your lack of direction is so hard for you. You so desperately want to be comforted and helped. You want to know how you get there? By becoming the person you wish you had in your life. Did you hear that? What is it you need? The desperate needs that you have will give you insight into what other people need, and you become that. And I'm going to tell you, according to the promises of the Bible, what you give will come back to you. It's an incredible biblical principle. Don't sit around and wait for the answer to come to you. Look to become the answer and the help in somebody else's life. And what you sow will grow in your life. What you give will be given back to you. You think about that. Let's stand together to pray, shall we? Come on. The power of encouragement, the picture of encouragement, and the principle of encouragement. Let's pray together. Lord, I remember Anthony talked to me this week, and he gave me that simple story of the way they used to train elephants. When the elephant was little, they would chain them to a stake, and the elephant wouldn't leave. And the elephant becomes so used to the chain that when they become these enormous animals, They simply tie a rope to their legs and put it to a stake, and the elephant thinks it can't get away, and it stays. Lord, we have been involved in talking trash and smack to everybody for so long in our families and within our churches that it just seems like normal and we can't get away from it. But that's a lie from Satan. It smells like smoke. We know where it's from. And we ask you to break the power of this in our lives. Give us the courage to pull away and do what's different and right. We ask, Lord Jesus, that love and encouragement would flow in this place and in these families, and because of that, in our community. Lord, change our world. Start with me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.